thank you for joining us at Cultivating Hearts. We're back in the studio today, and you know, last time was such a great time with the Lord, and we were discussing Matthew and the warnings and the actions and the blessings, and we pretty much got just through the warnings last time, so we're going to continue on. And I remember Tanya last time was talking about opportunity. It was a big word that we talked about, you know, that every day we do have an opportunity to share God's truth, and we should be looking and being aware of that, our surroundings, of who's there that maybe we could talk to or just shine Jesus's light. Yeah. So today we're going to continue on in Matthew 10, 23 through 42, and Tara.
Okay, there you go. I'm so excited. You know, this lesson, I hope I'm already in tears. It's like, it's been very sweet as I've been preparing, looking at this lesson again. And I love how the word meets us right where we're at. And it doesn't matter how many times we've studied a passage. I don't know how many times I've studied this. I really don't. I have no idea anymore. And, you know, from seminary classes, master's and doctoral level, and then all the times I've read it and studied it. And as I was preparing for this radio show, it was as if it was fresh and new. I love it. God is so faithful. And I was thinking, what if we were on a reality TV show? What if that reality TV show was, are you really a Christian? Mm. And all they did was for 1 week would take people that would write and say, well, I'm a Christian, I'm a Christian. And you could see all these people from all over the United States wanting to reveal their Christianity. Mm-hmm. And literally they lived with you a week, a month. And in that week and month, they had camera crews on you 24/7. Even while your routine wasn't to change, you were to do what was normal. And they caught you on video. And maybe even some hidden video in places where you wouldn't think that a video would be. Would they be able to say,
you're a Christian?
You're a Christian. Would they be able to say, I see a person of faith? And then the question would be, is what would it be that we would want to have define a Christian? And that's what I want us to open with before we look at the story. What would we say we would want the definition to be? How would we define a Christian? Mm. What would be their criteria to say yes or no?
I kind of like what you said, because at church sometimes they go, would you be found guilty if somebody brought charges against you for being a Christian? Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to say, no, maybe not.
Well, can a Christian fall short?
Absolutely.
Can we sin? Can we make mistakes?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
Okay, what would then be the ultimate definition then?
I think it would be, goodness, this is hard, but a heart that desires to be Christ-like, not perfect, but willing to repent and then share his love with everyone.
Okay.
And his truth.
Okay, and his truth. Okay, I was going to say, because do we have love if we don't have the gospel?
Mm-mm. No.
Right. Yeah, because Jesus is the gospel. He's the one that died on the cross.
Well, I always think of humility. You know, and humility is not only knowing where you fall short and bringing people around you, but it's also knowing what you do well and what God has created you to do. So many times we, as Christians, say, I'm not good at this, I'm not good at that, with the false humility. And it's like, you know what? What God has created you to do, do it well and do it unto Him.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, today, as we go in and we look at the radio segment, we're going to be blessed in that, because really, if you examine this passage of Jesus talking in Matthew 10, verses 16 all the way through 42, it really is Jesus telling them how to define a Christian. Mm-hmm. Who really is my follower? Mm-hmm. And with that, it included the warnings, it includes the actions of what they'll do, and it includes the rewards, the blessings that will come. And so let's get into the Bible story and go through and we'll hear it, and then we'll begin dialoguing. And I want us to really be taking apart what it looks like, you know, how he's defining for them, are you really a Christian? For us, that's what we're gonna have to take, because we're looking at his definition. He's defining for them what you're going to look like, what it's going to look like for you. Mm. And I don't think that this definition necessarily fits into our cultural definition of Christian anymore.
No, it's loosely used.
Mm. Right. Mm-hmm. So in Matthew 10, verses 23 through 42, it says, Jesus said, "So when they persecute you in one town, I want you to flee the next. For truly I say to you, you will not have gone through all the towns of Israel before the Son of Man comes." Mm. See, a disciple's not going to be above his teacher, nor a servant above his master. It's enough that the disciple is like his teacher, or the servant like his master. If they had called the master of the house the devil, how much more will they malign his household? Do not fear when these men attack you, for nothing is covered that will not be revealed, and nothing is hidden that will not be known. What I tell you in the dark, I want you to say in the light, and what you hear whispered, I want you to shout. Don't fear those who are going to kill the body but cannot kill the soul. Rather, I want you to fear the one that can destroy both the soul and the body in hell. For aren't two sparrows sold for a penny? And not one of them is going to fall to the ground apart from the Father knowing. But even the hairs on your head, they're numbered. Do not be afraid, for you are valued more than these sparrows. Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I will acknowledge before my Father in heaven. Whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father in heaven. Do not think that I've come to give peace to this earth. I've not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I've come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a person's enemies will be those in his own household. And whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever loves their son or daughter more than me does not love me. Whoever does not take up his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. And whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. And whoever receives you receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who receives a prophet because he's a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And the one who receives righteous person because he's righteous, he'll receive that righteous person's reward. And whoever gives one of these little ones even a cup of water because he's my disciple, I say to you, will by no means lose his reward. Mm-hmm. May God honor the telling of his word. Now, after hearing that reality TV show, let's define a Christian based on what we just read. What does he say is going to happen if you're a Christian? Would they find on video that we will be persecuted?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay, why are we going to be persecuted?
Because the servant is not above his master.
That's mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. And who are the people that are going to persecute us?
Our family.
Our family, those closest to us.
Mm-hmm. The church.
The church, mm-hmm. okay. Will fear come to a believer?
And he says not to be afraid, for he's with us.
Okay, but will we have fear?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
What will we do with that fear then?
Give it to him.
Yeah, we have to remember he is with us.
You got to walk through it.
You have to walk through it. That's exactly right. Okay, what about... speaking forth about Jesus, will we stay silent?
Well, he tells us to shout it.
Okay, so
he doesn't tell us to be silent.
Okay, so if it is said in the dark, what do? We say it in the
light.
If it's whispered in our ear, we say it.
Shout it.
Okay, are we? Does he anywhere say, "I want you to hold back"?
No.
Does he in any way say that we shouldn't speak to somebody because it's not the right
time?
Or I don't want to offend.
Or the right place.
These are many things that I have said this out loud as if I was holding back. And it was really, if I was honest, I would say it was because I was afraid.
Yeah, mm-hmm. mine too.
It was my own personal fear. Okay, what did he say about the one who denies him?
He will deny.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's pretty
That hurts.
Scary.
That is scary.
That's a pretty tough definition. Okay, what about... peace. What did he have to say about peace?
He's bringing a sword.
He's bringing a sword.
That's in Revelation. Yep.
Okay.
But also, I like going back to that, the proclaiming. It We don't have to proclaim ourselves. He's going to do it for yeah. us.
Exactly.
And, you know, so many times we say, we talk to other people about things we've done, or we don't have to do that because he does it for us. I mean, mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but that's important. That was huge to me.
Yeah, I think that's when our fear comes in. We're afraid of saying the wrong thing, but we've got to realize that the Holy Spirit will give us the correct words. To just rely on that. Really,
yep, just it's need so to be good. Willing to be used.
Trusting okay. it. Yep.
All right, now, as far as the peace part, we're going to talk a little bit more about this later, but that's a hard one for people to handle because he says, mm-hmm. I am the Prince of Peace. Mm-hmm. And I don't want us to dialogue yet, but I want you to be thinking, there has to be a reconciliation between, he says, I did not come to give peace, yet he is the Prince of Peace. So hold on to that because I don't mm-hmm. want us to hit it yet, but we will dialogue on that mm-hmm. one. And he says, what does he say about the cross? What are they supposed to do?
Carry
mm-hmm.
your own cross.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm not allowed to carry your cross, Andy?
No. Have you ever read that poem that talks about the different crosses that they have? You seen that
in
one?
A room?
I just read it. You know, it's something about a lady that thought her cross was too hard.
Yes.
And so she went and she tried out one that had jewels on it, beautiful, and it was too heavy. Then she went to one that had beautiful flowers on it. Well, there were thorns under it, so it hurt mm-hmm. her. And I can't remember how many other crosses they went through. But at the end, she picked up this light one, and she thought, oh, this is just right. Well, it was her cross. Yeah. You know, like God knows exactly what cross
sounds like a great
carry.
Poem. If you still have it, send it to me.
Right. I had one similar. It was almost like that. This gentleman, like I said, it's just a story, and he was complaining to God. He said, my cross is so heavy. Mm-hmm. I can't carry it. And God said, okay, you know what? I'm going to take you into this room with all these crosses. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you know what? You pick the one you want. And he picked the smallest one he could find. And God goes, are you sure you want that one? He goes, yeah. He goes, okay, that's the one you brought in.
Pretty much.
I was like,
oh, I love it. I love good. It. All right. And then he ends with talking about that, you know, giving a prophet. Listening to a prophet receives a prophet's reward, and then giving a cup of cold water, that we won't lose our reward. So there's talking about receiving those who speak the word in truth and ministering to those that are mm-hmm. not able to take care of themselves. So here we have the definition of what a Christian will look like based on Jesus's own words. Now, if this was the test that we went through on our reality TV show, would they be able to define us as Christians? You know, that's a question we need to ask ourselves. And if there's areas we need work, not for the purpose of perfection in any way, shape, or form, because God does not want us to be in the bondage of perfectionism. Mm-hmm. Right. What God wants is for us to do exactly what Tanya said and be in pursuit and allowing our hearts to be after him so that we can give his love and his truth. Mm-hmm. That's what it all boils down to. Okay, so let's start off with the first one. What do we learn about persecution in this passage? What do we learn? Starting in verse 23. What's going to happen with persecution?
Well, it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm. It's a given. It's a given. It's a given.
When you are.
Yep. When you are.
It doesn't
not
say
when.
If or if.
And it doesn't say some. It says when you are. He is speaking to all 12. Now, somebody might argue and say, okay, he's only talking to the 12 disciples. Mm-hmm. This is not a truth that applies to us today. But as a follower of Jesus Christ, when he goes through and he says, he lists out three bold relationships in this paragraph. And I want you to hear what these three bold relationships are. Look down and let's see if you guys, let's pull them out. Okay, list off the different names that Jesus is referred to. He's referred to as teacher. Mm-hmm. What else?
Master. Prince of Peace.
Okay, in this passage, Sandy, is he called Prince of Peace?
Maybe he wasn't. Maybe it was a...
Let's look only what we're at. This passage, he's not called Prince of Peace in this passage, but I just want us to focus on this paragraph, the verses 23 through...
40.
Yeah, 42. Yeah.
So mine says Son of Man.
Son of Man, yeah.
Son of Man, okay. And
Master
would be good. Mm-hmm. Lord is used. Mm-hmm. And so I want to take just teacher, master, and Lord. Who is the follower of a teacher?
Student.
A student, mm-hmm. a disciple, a pupil. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who is the follower of a Lord? If somebody's your Lord.
Their servant.
A servant or a slave?
Yeah, slave.
Yeah. Okay, and what about a master of a household? Like a patriarch, a daddy. Who would be under?
Kids.
The family.
The family unit. Okay. And so right here, we are given three critical relationships that he's defining for them mm-hmm. that they already have with him. Hmm. You need not worry. Father God, daddy, master of households here. Mm-hmm. You need not worry. The teacher is here. You need not worry because the Lord is here. He's clarifying for them three very critical relationships that we have with him. Because those three critical relationships, really understanding that character trait of Christ, is what equips us to walk in our Christian faith. Mm-hmm. So he is talking to the disciples, but it applies to us because he is also our teacher. He is also our Lord, and he is also our master. So we are his pupils, students, disciples. We are his servants, his slaves, and we are his family. Mm-hmm. Do you see how he, in the fullness of this discourse, he revealed to them the beauty of his relationship with his children? I was blown away this morning as I caught it because I had never seen it laid out like that, which is always the importance of repetition, 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 reading it over and over. How often have you heard that one, Janelle, at school?
Quite a bit.
More than you would realize, huh?
It's been repeated.
A lot. That word repetition. So thinking about those three relationships, why do you think personally? Well, guess what? We have 1 minute left. So maybe we will start off next time with that. Thank you, Sandy. I just got the, oh, thank you. We have 1 minute. We can't do that deep. We'll catch you on that. You need to come back next week. That's and what we're right. going to do is we're going to take these three relationships and we're going to examine these relationships and why they're critical in helping us to walk the walk we're called to walk and why we have to know them in order to help us to not fear. Because if we have an understanding who our teacher is, who our Lord is, and who our master is, it keeps us from dealing with the fear that can onslaught us. But if we do not have an understanding of who our teacher, Lord, and master, then we crumble when the fear comes. Having that proper definition. We're so glad you've been listening to Cultivating Hearts. We thank you for coming to the radio and listening, and we just love to hear from you. God bless.